Oh, I didn't know we were talking.
Oh,
no, I didn't even know we were on.
You're supposed to have an on-the-air warning.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's your social security number? But yeah, it's I wanted to
cause, three.
Because I learned to drive stick in like a 79 Volvo, and I was like, it had a very distinct cluster.
Yes. Yeah.
Have you seen the cluster for the IS300, like the first gen?
No, it was very chronometer-like.
It looks like a watch.
Yeah, they were, because that was the first time you saw those like clear
testing Brian's
clear
mic
lens tail
testing
lamps
Brian's mic
with the round. Yeah, and then
I'm
everyone
gay.
Then all the aftermarket Civic
I'm
ones
gay.
Came out.
Everybody
kind of
in the room
they
is
neat
gay.
For a while.
Nick just became game the gay.
RX 300.
I am talking louder.
Okay. Oh, are you okay?
I mean, I'm not.
I mean, are you Henry Cavill? You're
yeah,
cocking
that,
your arms to fight.
No, it might as well be my shit.
What Fortnite
does this
character
do anything?
Are you?
It's getting better.
I'm Wendell.
Someone said Wendy's is not where you go; it's where you end up.
Well, that's a whole eat great even late. It goes, all I heard was late. Well, Wendy's is for places where they don't have a Wawa.
Well, statistically,
Brian just oh that Pete, damn.
Someone was probably born in a Wendy's sunroom before. Like if you look at the statistics.
The statistics.
Even if
I guarantee
okay.
At least three people a day are born in Taco Bell drive-throughs
like
because they're so
the
fucking slow. Like they probably were 6 months in, and the three months flew by in the Taco Bell drive-thru.
Yeah, and it's an enclosed
drive. My favorite part about Taco Bell is that if they're busy, that means you're either getting half your order or double your order, or double your order correctly or half your order completely incorrect. I've noticed like sometimes I call it Taco Bell lottery, and sometimes if they're really busy. You sometimes will end up with like twice the amount of food you actually ordered, or sometimes you'll end up with only like half of it. Though if you end up with only half of it, they will like correct it, and sometimes they'll just tell you to keep that food, and they'll just completely remake your order or something like that because it's easier for them, I guess, wise. But there have been times where fast food places are just so busy and they just fuck up orders left and right. And like literally the Popeyes here in Lansdale has somehow before given me exactly twice my order before. Like, two chicken sandwiches, like, two mac and cheeses, two drinks.
So
and I just stopped questioning it.
You're set for lunch and dinner.
Exactly.
But, yeah, to run back to this is that I bought a 79 Volvo gauge cluster literally just to stick it on a shelf because it's pleasing to my nerdy Swedish eye. But I ordered it on eBay, and the box showed up, unwrapped it.
I'm gay. Okay. If I talk about half of a fist away, it sounds good.
Okay, you're the only one with headphones. We trust you. But yeah, I unwrapped it. And I'm like, this is not a Volvo gauge cluster. And I'm like, I don't know what this is. It's a weird design. I couldn't figure it out. And because I'm like, but it had like proudly where attack might have been optioned was a quartz clock that said digital quartz in big letters. Where so I'm like, okay, this is in an era where a quartz clock was a big deal, so it must be late 70s, early 80s. And eventually, long story short, I eventually traded it down to
an
AMC Concord gauge cluster, which is the same thing as the AMC Eagle gauge cluster, but the colors are different.
Nice.
And I'm like, I wonder if Nick would want this. Like the ultimate thing is I haven't messed with it yet. I want to buy a 12-volt power supply, like an AC to DC converter power supply, and find which two wires make the clock light up and see if, like, does it keep time? And you can make a wall clock out of it.
Okay. It took a while, but welcome to the free episode of RCR. And our regular friends will have a banner once I draw a bad one for Chai. Thank you for joining us for audio check. For the nerds, what's going on here is the audio is coming from the mics into the mixing board, out of the mixing board, into the Canon XA60, and then out of the XA60 via HDMI into the ATEM, and then from there to USB-C into the computer.
That's how you got out to work? That's how you got that video board to function?
That's how we're doing it now.
It's a Rube Goldberg of sound.
So if you're doing an audio-only podcast, the camera's still operating just with the lens cap on or something.
Right, yeah. So what the problem we had with the last one when we were using the A10 and we had the audio coming in from the older mixing board coming into the computer, like there were two sources, video and audio, our mouths and audio were not synced. So everything that comes through the ATEM is on a delay. Now we should not be on a delay because the audio and video are the same coming in.
It's the same source coming through in the same line.
Yeah, on the HDMI.
You know what?
Which is going to be interesting when we have multiple cameras now, how that's going to work. I don't know yet.
Well, the other cameras will just be, well, you'll have to find out.
We'll have to find out. Because right now, the only small HDMI cameras I've seen that I can like mount on like sconces on the wall, like hang on the wall, are little security cameras with manual lenses. Mm. They're about $140 a piece.
Oh, yeah, I saw
those.
But
they also need, each one is going to need their own power source, which means each one's going to have an adapter, so I'm going to have wires coming. I'm going to have a wire come. I could only really put, well, plenty of extension cords or something. Again, stuff to think about in the future. But the good news is people have been subscribing to RCR mm-hmm. on Patreon. And worst case, I mean, right now we're just doing it live. So everybody's watching this on regular enrollment. And then if you feel like hanging around, we can do the Patreon one after this. And I can have another drink. Yeah. Mm. But we just got done filming Lance's $500 Hyundai Elantra, which is coming up in like probably around 2 weeks, three weeks.
Yeah.
Because we have the Polara to do, and you have Race to the Bottom coming out not this Monday, but the Monday after.
The following Monday. And yeah. Then we also have...
Oh, wait, the Alteza. The Alteza's coming out Monday. I mean, I'm spoiling her. Thank you to everybody who's watching this. You get to know what's coming out. Yeah. But it's going to be an RS200 Alteza, which I loved.
What's an Alteza?
You know the... you ready to go?
IS300, but it's the from Japan. Came with a four-cylinder instead of a...
I've heard that name. I'm probably thinking of Gran Turismo. I'm like, I've seen that name somewhere. It would have been the Japanese market.
Yeah, I grew up... four-cylinder.
Oh, yeah, the Beams Blacktop 3SGE. So it's the final iteration of the original engine that was in the AE86.
Wow.
So the thing from the 80s, now people are, Toyota nerds can debate whether it was or was not really the grandson or great-grandson of all of them, but it's one of the best Toyota engines I've ever felt. Obviously fan of... I'm a fan of a lot of what Toyota does. I'm not a fan of the 3-point slow that was in the first V6 that they made. That was in the...
Tacoma.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The first... And the T100. Oh, and yeah. The...
It was a work engine. It got the job done.
But it had problems with, I think, timing chains and oil and something else. It was Toyota's first small V6. Hmm. Or maybe the first V6 ever? Hmm. I don't know.
So what's... without spoiling it, what can you give as like a teaser for Race to the Bottom? Like what's upcoming? Like... something for people to puzzle over.
Well, they canceled me because I'm too real. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, that type of person's car. Mm-hmm. And it's...
The official car of all the comics who hitched their mooring line to Joe Rogan and then and suddenly Austin, Texas sucks yeah. now. I don't want to throw shade on Brendan Schaub because I can't do stand-up. But it's kind of, actually, I don't know why. Okay. I'm making fun of him. He's a nice guy. Fine. But it's that, I think the whole thing with Schaub was that he had his, he had a special, but maybe he needed another 3 months with that material to work with it.
Longer than three. Yeah, mm-hmm. That was.
And I say all this pretending that I'm a stand-up person, only having done it twice in my life.
Well, but like they spend so much time talking about the craft of comedy, and then they go up there, well, reworked and reworked this bit. I've seen people who like their first draft of a bit is like, which I'm not saying it to denigrate. I'm just saying that if you get to jump line to suddenly having your own special when you've only done it like one or two times before, then you have to come correct, even if it means getting a whole squad of writers to help you have good
stuff. There's nothing nothing wrong with having writers or having help if you're working on something like that.
Yeah.
I should bring the stream up so I can see what the chat's saying.
Yeah.
Where the hell do I find it? Is it on YouTube?
Yeah, I'm on YouTube right now. One person said to leave the light on but close the blinds. I mean, I'm looking on YouTube. On YouTube, it is pretty bright.
Well, I can fix that in the camera.
He's not going to.
Let's
see.
Like, how bright is it? How bright did they see? We're a little blown out. Yeah. I mean, I can. All right, I'm going to turn off black light assist or like something. Backlight. I mean,
yeah. Someone said, can you ask them to close the curtain but keep the lamp on? Yeah.
You just have these sheer curtains left behind.
You just have these sheer curtains left behind by grandma, so they're not going to block a lot of light.
So did anybody watch The Substance with Demi Moore and Margaret Qualley, Best Picture nominee, but it's like one of the few horror movies nominated for Best Picture?
All I saw was Conan's spoof of that at the beginning of the Oscars.
Yeah, it's...
which was, again, very funny, but...
It's that, but more of that. It's very strange.
Just people crawling out of people.
Yeah, well, it takes place in this bizarre sort of Cronenbergian world where, you know, there's no...
Don't you blaspheme Cronenberg.
Well, I mean, that's more...
We're going to watch Videodrome right now.
Because it's a similar kind of body horror, but it also takes place in this weird sort of facsimile of our world in which, you know, traditional media doesn't exist the way that it does now. So they exist in a world where the top show on television is like an aerobics workout show. And the big event that they're all building to is this like New Year's Eve show. The idea being that people are actually going to watch a New Year's Eve show rather than being out. And then like the New Year's Eve show, like everybody's topless for whatever reason. It's like there are kids in the audience and nobody really blinks an eye about it.
I'm just mixing this with the Crystal Light Aerobics Championship introduction.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty much.
Except with that music playing the whole time.
Crystal Light, you're an aging, mature woman. Somehow your pussy is still tight. You're the mean one from Golden Girls. What's her name? The tall one?
Oh, Dorothy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I rewatched that bit from Gumball where they did the animated Golden Girls where the husband was dressing up as... The young ranch.
God,
that was brilliant. Like I don't really watch cartoons anymore. I mean, I've been watching just like clips and stuff. That's my TV now. It's just YouTube clips.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's a new season
two
of
fucking hours just going.
Yeah.
Shorts.
Oh
shorts.
My
yeah.
God.
It's like I can see. I made fun of like I don't want to get TikTok. It seems like a waste of time. And then YouTube introduced shorts. And they show you a clip of a show you are interested in, and next thing you know, the sun's going down.
It sucks because every application has it. I'll get stuck on Instagram Reels. I'll get like because I'm very like anti TikTok. Like I'm just like, that's the app that convinced an entire generation they have ADHD. Like I am not getting on board with it. And then I'll sit there on Instagram like, oh.
Yeah, it's yeah, it really, yeah. It's like it's someone figured out how to maximize. Like, how do we do this? Just keep flamethrower the shit at them.
Yeah,
no, and I'm like.
I'll say it. There is no app that has ever been made that has a better algorithm than TikTok.
Right.
Like, I'll say this right now because there are things it literally will pull shit out of my this is a free show, but pull things out of my mind where there is it'll be something that I'm thinking of and then I'll open the thing and it's the first video I get is what I was thinking of.
Like, it's freaky. Yeah.
Like I was literally thinking about how obscure it was. It was a pro wrestling move. I wonder if anyone's ever done this before. I'm just thinking of this move. I'll like do a back suplex into a DDT. Literally, this is dead honest. I open up TikTok and that's literally the first thing that I see is a wrestling school and the person is practicing this move.
It's in your head.
I'm like, this is really scary.
Also, are we supposed to not curse?
We can. It's been over 10 minutes.
Because I was about to say, like, you just said pussy and what are you worried about?
And also a second channel.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's
demonetized. Just like you, just get it in the first 60 seconds, get demonetized, and you're fine.
So Patreon's just a little bit more raw, more raunchy, I guess.
Yeah, the Patreon is like I'm not trying to. I suppose what I feel is that there are people who watch the main channel,
yeah,
and just want car stuff,
mm-hmm.
and there are things that I've experienced in the last 10 years that I just want to reflect on and laugh about. But I'm not quite so sure what YouTube would think about that.
Yeah,
I get you. Mostly sexual stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saving for the Patreon and the dirty versions.
Yeah.
Like, okay, for everybody watching, I made a dirty version of the video that's coming out on Monday. And I was making myself, I didn't edit out the laughs, the outtakes, because I'm just imagining, it's about the Alteza, and I'm just imagining a kid who's like this rich kid from Villanova, and his parents gave him seed money to start his, he wanted to be an entrepreneur, so they gave him, I don't know, let's say $80,000 or something as seed money. They're friggin' executives at Merck or something like that, or Lehman Brothers or Goldman Sachs or Franklin Templeton.
If you're a mainline, Vanguard.
Yeah. Dude, Vanguard still went. Okay, we could talk about stocks. But anyway, so this kid has close to six figures in seed money, and what he does is he opens a storefront somewhere on the mainline and calls it... It's just him in the storefront sitting at a desk with his hands folded. There's a artificial ficus plant there. There's like some little like fake waterfall pool that you would have at a lower tier sushi place, and in very nice Helvetica font over in the banner in front of the storefront, it just says Pussy Getters of the Main Line, and it's just him there with a nice smile on his face. Like, imagine if Chris Chan had a venture capitalist behind
and
him.
Like, the desk is completely empty except for like one telephone and a business card holder.
Yeah, it's a VTech VoIP phone that's not plugged in anything. He's got an iPad point of sale machine.
The phone not plugged into anything. Yeah. That's power move right there.
Yeah. And he's just sitting there. It's like, well, time to go to work. Pussy Getters of the Main Line.
There should be
businesses like, looking up. I get pussy. You can get it here.
There's a fax machine in the corner from the last business that was there that didn't feel like taking it out.
Yeah. There's a box of paper overturned.
Yeah.
And it's just there falling out. There's like a bunch of invoices from the HVAC guy who burned them.
There's a broken Keurig in the back room.
Yeah. And there's a doing it right. Or the store brand buckets you could buy at Home Depot or Lowe's, there's that. It's half full of the old Keurig things, just filled with that.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, the roof was leaking. And there's, in the corner, just, like, a bucket of just, like, water, like...
No, it's the main leaks. Line.
The roof doesn't leak.
I could see, like a doctor's office or a professional, they have just, like, hang in there, like...
Yep.
Except it's, like, you know, it's, like, a gape chart or something.
It's
like, let's take a look at the chart, shall we? Come over here.
Yeah. He's got a Harbor Freight wand light, and he's like, time to get pussy. Oh.
Pulling the blue latex gloves on.
Yeah. He's got a doctor reflector up there that he puts on. And like in full view of, let's say, some bored housewife comes down from Sinking Spring, and she was going to Philadelphia Premium Outlets and ventures further down toward Philly, and she sees Pussy Getters of the Main Line. And it's like, well, Gerald passed away. Let's get your evaluation here. And he just leads this 59-year-old woman over to a blow molded. What is the name of those? There was like YouTube videos detailing the history of the plastic chair that it's called. There's a name for that. The Adirondack. Not an
Adirondack chair.
No, not Adirondack.
No, that's like a tech chair.
It's like Mont Blanc. Mont Blanc. That's a pen.
You're talking about one of those like mod 60s plastic chairs?
That's for sale at every big box retailer, Walmart. Yeah. They stack together. They're in front of every Ace Hardware.
Yeah,
They're $14 a piece.
Yeah. The chairs that everyone leans back in and breaks a leg immediately. Yeah.
Those plastic lawn chairs, you mean?
Yeah. And he has like a spray bottle, but it's like mm-hmm. to show that we're clean. Mm-hmm. But it's just water. It just sprays the water on it.
I think everyone has like leaned back in one of those plastic chairs and just one of the legs just went out.
Yeah.
Like that's a universal experience. It's the
twist.
You
sit back and then you do a little twist and then it drops.
Yep. I don't know. What did the chat say? Did they say what it was?
For the chair? No. Someone just said, "Come Catchers and Co."
the good old CCC.
Triple C. That sounds like a wrestler.
You see John Cena's heel turn? He's a bad guy now?
No.
After 21 years of...
So he went Hollywood Hogan.
Yeah, but I would argue it's a bigger deal because Hogan was a good guy for maybe like 13 years.
Yeah.
John Cena was basically, for the duration of someone's childhood and adult, like pre-30s life, he would have been a good guy. And now he turned... And it's only because, you know, sort of... He's no longer in a position where he has to carry the business.
Right.
So John Cena can afford to be in a position where he doesn't sell as much merch. He isn't expected to do all these things because Cody Rhodes has got it all covered.
Okay.
But it's still kind of bizarre just because, you know, you never thought it would happen. And then on top of all that, it's the fact that for 20 years, most of the older fans have been booing him anyway. Because the cheers you would hear are like women and children.
John Cena sucks.
John Cena's
gay.
But isn't it all like, what's it called? Kayfabe?
Kayfabe.
Kayfabe, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, so he's not like really a bad guy or anything.
No,
like
he is.
Is he?
It's on TV. It must be true.
Mm-hmm. Clearly.
But he's like off, he's off the D-ball, right? He's smaller than he was.
He's also doing actual, like, trying to act in movies and things where he can get away with it.
Yeah,
so.
He's probably not as worried about the helmet.
Peacemaker.
Peacemaker. Oh,
yeah, admittedly, that tongue-in-cheek, that movie was pretty funny.
Yeah, and so, like, he's in his farewell run, so this whole year is, like, his farewell year. He's got something like 30 more dates going.
Is he in his 50s?
Not yet. I want to say he's like 49. He might be 50. I'm not sure. But yeah, he's in there. But it's something kind of strange and bizarre. I always find it funny. Like I'll run into someone, this is kind of related, where I haven't seen them for a while and they know I still watch wrestling. And people will bring up
that chair.
Monoblock.
Yeah.
Monoblock. Thank you, Chad.
People will bring up like the most random person that they vaguely remember from when they were young.
Yeah.
Like, dude. Do you remember Doink?
Do you remember Doink
the clown? It's like, or once you were like, do you remember IRS? I'm like, yeah, I remember IRS.
Irwin R. Scheister.
Yeah, that because that's a real heel that you can be afraid of that everyone can.
Yeah,
no one's gonna ironically.
He became
like
a color
IRS.
commentator, right?
No, I don't think he did. He might have done some shots here and there, but I don't think he did. Because when he left WWF at the time, he went to WCW and did this gimmick VK Wall Street. So it was kind of like IRS, but the opposite direction, where like now I'm a Wall Street stock bro.
Yeah.
But it's just weird that, you know, what's the one person everyone can boo? A bad guy tax man.
Yeah.
Or like the Repo Man.
Yeah.
Like the Repo Man. He comes back and repossesses your stuff. But in abstract, like the Repo Man isn't really a bad guy because he's taking stuff that people have defaulted on.
Mm-hmm.
And they're delinquent in their payments. How is Repo Man the like he's the bearer of bad news.
Yeah, he's the messenger.
He's not like the fucking he's not like the Hamburglar. Like, you know what I mean? He's not here to burgle your Nissan Altima from your driveway.
This is always fascinating to me because like I don't shit on wrestling. I get it. I just never followed it that closely. So when someone, it can just throw the lore.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's like watching a documentary. You're like, okay, keep going. Yeah.
Because
I'm from the WWF, like Nintendo.
Yeah.
Like Million Dollar Man, Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant. Like that was the Ted last DiBiase. Time I knew about yeah, any of this
very,
stuff.
Very the glory age.
Things have moved way beyond that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was back during the age where like gimmicks, they would do the thing where the implication was that you wrestled part time, but your gimmick was what your real job was.
Yeah.
So like you had like the wrestling trash man, like the Dumpster Drossy.
Oh, that's yeah. a and real thing. There,
yeah,
weren't there two like twin dudes or like in coveralls or something? Or
the Bushwhackers.
Was that one guy? I forget.
There were the Godwins who were pig farmers. There was T.L. Hopper who was a plumber.
They should go back to that. That yeah. sounds hilarious.
Was Hacksaw Jim Dugan or Duggan? Was he a lumberjack or just?
Yeah,
he just come in with a like a 2x2 or a 2x4?
Yeah, he was just slow. That was the gimmick. Oh, no. It's because the gimmick was just that they presented him as if he was like mentally a 12-year-old, but he had like the strength, the proportional strength of a 35-year-old man or whatever. But I always loved Hacksaw Jim Duggan because his gimmick was basically that he was a patriot, like red, white, and blue all the way, go USA, and he'd walk around with a 2x4 and hit people with it.
And then the Sheik shows up or something.
Yeah, like well, he's presented as like I know that the actual Jim Duggan is not a moron, but the gimmick that he was portraying, he was being portrayed as kind of an idiot, like a simpleton of some kind. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the correct. I don't think it's like an actual thing that they were trying to do of say like oh he has some sort of problem. They just kind of presented him as this mostly simple guy.
But that was different than. The American Dream. What's his face?
Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but that was WCW.
Yeah, but he did WWF also. He came over and was in. They put him in polka dots. It was really weird.
Weird.
Yeah.
But he was not presented as a simpleton. He was just like an average guy.
Yeah, he was just average guy. And technically, you know, when he first came to WWF, they tried to give him this new gimmick that was like an addition to the American Dream character. By saying that, well, all the vignettes building him up were that he was doing a bunch of odd jobs for all over the place. So you'd see him like delivering pizza, you'd see him, you know, unclogging a toilet.
Mm.
This was a guy who'd been world champion three times over, and then they bring him over and they assume that no one knows who this guy is.
Oh, okay.
Which because Vince was very like Vince McMahon was very much in his bubble, and so assumed that his product was the only one that mattered, and. You know, it's like, oh, we got to reintroduce you to the audience. And to be fair, I mean, like, Dusty was huge to a Southern audience, but he had wrestled in the WWF, and he had already been popular up there. Like, I don't know why he thinks that. I don't know.
Was Stardust supposed to be bisexual?
Goldust, yes. Stardust was Cody Rhodes, who's now the world champion, but like not as Stardust because he famously left, went and made his name.
Goldust is who I'm thinking of, right?
But yeah, but Goldust was Dusty's son and Cody's brother. And
in lore,
in reality, and then Goldust was kind of. I don't know. They present it as he's playing mind games. So he, you know, some of his moves would be overtly sexual to freak you out. And then he'd take advantage of, like, your lapse in consciousness to, like, hit a move or do some other thing. It was very much like mind games trickery. But the whole idea is that he's sexually ambiguous. And because that's what they could kind of get away with without the, what was that? The people who used to protest the TV...
Oh, something not the key. Westboro Baptist Church.
No, it was like
no, that an was official hardcore.
Organization. It was like the P...
Mothers Against, who knows? You know.
Yeah.
It's like PTA, but it's not the PTA.
Okay, yeah. Mothers Against...
Pacific Transit. No.
Video games and TV violence or something like that. Like MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Yeah.
I don't like the children playing these shooting games. I wish they'd just go out in the woods and pretend war like we used to do.
Man, you know, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. It's like, if you're going to say that GTA or like Doom or Duke Nukem was a problem, and then you have
I remember in the early 90s, I would play war with Dan Gates.
Yeah, with sticks and his brother. Throwing pine cones as grenades.
Yeah.
And half the time, we were getting for real hurt. Doing it.
I got the wind knocked out of me by. I was determined to ride into the farm field across the street from my parents' house on my Huffy Stone Mountain 18-speed mountain bike.
Fancy.
Yeah.
I had a Huffy single speed.
And I remember chanting to myself, like psyching myself up, like, okay, this time, no brakes. all the way down the hill. No brakes.
What, that hill? You're talking about your parents' house?
Yeah.
That hill that's beside that long-ass lawn?
No, in the field across the street.
Oh,
through a farm field.
Oh, you're just riding through the field blind into a cornfield or something.
Oh, the corn has been harvested.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And this is like the path the combine took to get back up the hill.
Gotcha.
So they never planted on that, like, path.
Well, as long as it's not too rutted, you'll be fine.
So I went down, and then, like... You know, the front wheel hit a dip too much, and I just went over the handlebars, got the wind knocked out of me. And I remember there, you know, that when you get the wind totally knocked out and you're trying, you can only exhale and then exhale more. Yeah. And I'm trying to breathe in, and I had this moment come over me and think, well, I had a good run. I'm like this is 11th grade junior year. I'm like, I had a good
that's
run.
That's around the age idea. It's like, yeah, everyone's like, oh, I got hit in the diaphragm and it hurts.
Yeah,
but I was like, I had an after school job in high school, and
yeah,
like they from a company, they own like restaurants and stuff. I was like the helper. I would like get the toolboxes and stuff for maintenance. Mm-hmm. But they had one of those car washes where the car holds still and the machine rolls on tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sits on basically two sets of railroad tracks. Well, what's spraying around a car wash all the time? Wax.
Mm.
So this wax-covered rail, and I was walking through like, oh, let me go get the thing from the truck. And I come back and I step on the rail instead of over it. And my foot went, vit, and I slammed belly down onto the train rail. And I was like, and literally I went, oof, and thought, and instantly went, oh, I didn't feel too bad. And then I went, and couldn't breathe in. And I was like, I was making that noise.
Just call me home to go.
Yeah, and then you're like, okay, I'm on all fours, crawling through a car wash.
Oh, man.
And then it kind of goes away. You're like, oh, okay, I'm going to live. I will live.
And then you got to like get up and continue what you were doing.
I was driving that Rust Bucket 66 Dodge.
Yeah.
It was more Bondo than anything.
Yeah.
But that was one of the things, the employees, like, it was one of those automated washes that was 24 hours, and you had the keypad. Like, when you bought a thing, it gave you, like, you would go inside and buy your code,
mm-hmm.
and they would give you a six-digit code to punch in. It was randomized. But there was a set number. It was the employee code. You could punch in, and it would just do a deluxe wash.
Mm.
Every day, I put that fucking car. Like, anytime I was like, oh, I'm just going to get gas. I'm going to get a car wash. Beep, 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 beep. It just every day running this bucket through.
Yeah.
With water leaking through the window seals and everything. It's like, awesome. Yeah, it's fine.
No one said anything?
No. It's like, who cares?
Yeah.
Same thing. When I detailed cars, like, I just – sometimes I'll just pull my car into the wash bay. Like, when I worked at Thompson, just pull my car into the wash bay. Just spray it off. Just soap, water, leave, whatever. Sometimes I just run it through the automatic wash. They didn't really care.
Did they have an auto? That's why I always wondered that. Do they have an auto wash?
The detail center, yeah. The detail center in Doylestown, you know, you would just go around. And they had, like, the spray. They had, like, the wash booths. And then they had a automatic wash.
Was it an automated wash that was for, like, the dealership to use only?
Yeah, but, like.
Because that's a lot of equipment.
The whole thing was, like, if you wanted to detail your car, you had to ask. And 99% of the time, they would say yes. Though they really only cared if you drove your car into the shop to like work on it, but just to like run through the automatic wash, and if you did it like just every once in a while, they're not going to say anything. What are they going to check the cameras? Oh, you kept driving your car, like they didn't really care.
Yeah, like when I stopped by there in the summer, like they left a card with the paperwork that was like, we didn't wash your car because of the drought. I was like, okay. I'm like, well, that's a good excuse for your broken car wash, I guess.
Yeah.
I can tell you the amount of people who go to dealerships who go through the automatic wash who they'll have a previous scratch. They'll get a wash of the wash and like, this scratch wasn't here. That happens all the time.
I'm surprised that there's the Chevy dealer not far from here, Burgies. Mm-hmm. I'm not calling them out for any reason. I'm just saying they're there. But they got this machine that when you pull in, they drive your car into the bay, and it's this big arc machine, like an arch, mm-hmm. and it photographs the entire car from tip to tail and underneath. So they can kind of point and go, well, look at this problem here. Look at it, like anything that's obviously like, you know, oil streaks or whatever.
Yeah.
But they also, it's primarily because it also takes a picture of the whole car, including any dents or anything that are on it at that moment. Yeah. So later on, it's like, this dent wasn't there. I'm like, well, when you pulled the car in, that dent was there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What's this? How about that? How about you?
They're just climbing the car. Like, I don't know. Just leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come back. How about that? It's just, yeah. But I wanted to go through the car wash while I listen to Centerfold by Jay Giles Band.
Oh, I have God. To turn oh, it up. Song is so great. I have to turn it up until the speakers are cracking to hear it over the dryer.
Yeah.
Blood runs cold.
I remember back in the early 2000s when some car washes would have like a list of cars. We are not responsible for if this, and this type of car got damaged. I know
that's very specific.
Like, yeah,
Like if you have a Honda Del Sol and it like leaks in.
Yeah, I remember like I saw a car wash. We are not responsible for if this generation of Pontiac Grand Am gets damaged. And apparently, like they had, you know how like those late 90s, early 2000s Grand Ams,
all the glued on,
had like the cladding and shit like that,
and it was only glued on to the actual like Oldsmobile door underneath. Yep. Yeah. That's wild. Yeah, because I remember the generic signs about radio antennas and aftermarket bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But never calling out a specific car. That's wild.
I've seen a few car washes that will just say, we are not responsible for if this specific car gets damaged. Nowadays, like a lot of car washes are automatic touchless just mm-hmm. to completely avoid that problem.
Yeah.
But it's like I've heard a million stories of like people – take their cars through car wash, and they go, this scratch wasn't here, this dent wasn't here.
And I know touch washes, no matter how much soft cloth they give it on the sign, it still scratches the shit out of everything.
Yeah.
But the touchless one, while it washes the most of the crap off your car, it's just not clean.
No.
Exactly.
It's like you're still going to go home and spray it.
You need
it and spray
agitation
it
to clean a car.
I mean, if you went mudding, it would get most – it would piss off the guy who wants to wash when mm-hmm. you clog up his filter. But
yeah.
God damn. I don't know how – when I was like 16, one of my friends borrowed his mom's Jeep Grand Cherokee,
mm-hmm.
like 1 year old Jeep Grand Cherokee. We're mm-hmm. in Idaho.
Yeah.
And there are freight train lines that run through the area, and there's a service road that runs alongside the train tracks.
Yeah.
Just a dirt path for the trucks. And I would ride dirt bikes on it in the summer and everything. Mm-hmm. And when it rains, there are parts that would just turn into a mud pit.
Yeah.
And this was the dead of winter, though, so it's snow. And we're gonna go up to the highway, but we're gonna drive a mile along the service road to the next street mm-hmm. and then get on the highway. And we're driving, and all of a sudden, for a split second, it got super smooth.
Mm.
I'm like, that's weird. And then the nose went through the water.
Oh.
The ice broke, and it went boom, and ice shot up over the windshield, and the thing went rent and just stopped. And we're like, uh-oh. It's dark out. We're in this, and it's a white Jeep Cherokee. Country, yeah. I remember, with the gold wheels. And we spent 10 minutes. And admittedly, I was like, you shouldn't rev it that much. You're just digging the holes deeper. But he was whipping the wheel left and right in four-wheel drive, in reverse and drive. Once you get the wheel turned past the fender, it just rooster tails mud straight up in the air 100 feet. That car was not white anymore. And he's like, your mom's going to know.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, I'm going to drop you off at your house, and then I'm going to go to the gas station. I'm like, it's 10 degrees out. The car wash isn't going to work. I'm like, I'll figure it out. Like, I'll make up something.
That's a pure teenage thing. Like, I'll figure it out. And what did he figure out?
I have no idea.
Really? He just dropped you off at your house?
Yeah. I was like, okay. And then, like, the next time I – like the next day, I was like, is it fine? He goes, yeah, it's fine. I'm like, okay. All right. All right.
Yeah. It's fine. All right. Also, I can't come out.
I'm like, he probably. Yeah. It's like, I guess we can't use the car anymore. Yeah. And then he bought a Colt. God, a Dodge Colt. Yeah, an 80s Dodge Colt.
Okay.
That became his car.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's like, man, I don't know. It's like cars are so expensive now. I know we're gonna get to that Elantra and like what a find that is this day and age. But mm-hmm. like being able to slap down a couple hundred bucks for something that gets you to school.
Yeah.
That freedom of not riding the bus.
Yeah.
No matter whether it had working vents or anything, it's like it starts maybe.
Yeah. Like that same guy I said, like playing war with growing up, Dan, he bought for a couple hundred bucks in high school a Subaru Loyale.
Dude. With the boxy one.
Yeah. Again, white. And I remember he rolled up.
Wagon?
Wagon.
Nice.
He rolled up to my house and was like, check out my new car. Like flabbergasted that one of my friends owned a car. Now, probably they were on their parents' insurance like we all were, but had a car. And I think it was even a manual transmission. And, well, I guess, you know, 90s, that was everything.
That was easy, yeah.
And he says, hey, watch what happens to my headlights when I rev it. He revs it. His headlights get brighter. And I'm like, even then, you know, by the 90s, alternators were good. You really didn't have that much drop-off in power. I'm like, no, it was this one's probably like a Loyale would have been like 86 or something like that.
That could have been the battery was just shit. And it's it's like the battery was like, I'm barely hanging on. The alternator is doing all the work.
So yeah.
When it lowers down, the battery can't pick up the slack.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like that joy of, I'm just going to go somewhere.
Yeah. I don't have to.
Buck 40, buck 45 were unleaded, and off we go.
Yeah. And then Tom had his 1990 Volkswagen Fox.
That's wild.
Yeah. And then Eric had a Dodge Neon, a Gen 1,
who had the newest car. That's a pretty new car, yeah.
Yeah, for the 90s, time. Yeah. And then
air conditioning.
And then I got my car senior year from my Uncle Bill, who owned the dealership.
That's the Echo? You had a black Neon.
And I had a black second gen Neon, which was worse than the first gen.
Yeah, it was.
There is someone.
Well, you also put like, you also went to Pep Boys and bought the chrome strips.
That car was so ugly. And I wish there were more pictures of it. But yeah, racing stripes I put on myself.
And I think
over the hood, over the roof, over the back, just lining it up eyeball style.
Also say you drilled holes in the airbox to make it louder?
No, you could take the top of the airbox off.
Okay.
Which would then bypass the moose tube.
Because I remember you, like, you'd step on it and yeah, that four-cylinder.
Ooh, induction noise.
Yeah.
And I put the K&N filter believing, like, my introduction.
We all believe that back in the day.
Because Gran Turismo 1, that was the first modification you could do your car. Oh, air filter. Plus 10, there it was.
Plus 10 horsepower.
Right there, Gran Turismo 1. If it's in video games, it must be true.
Well, it's true. It's based on science.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I was noticing. So apparently that Hyundai, that it's fourth generation. The manual was standard. The automatic was the option. It was a four-speed automatic. But also an option was air conditioning. Which was standard on the previous model, so I don't know like why you would get less.
They cut the,
from the cuts third the, to the fourth.
It cuts the bottom. It cuts the starting at price lower for the TV commercial.
Really? Also, they sold way more of those fourth gens than those third gens. I would assume. Mm. I think my generation sold very well. I just remember they're not everywhere nowadays, but I just remember like they were everywhere for the longest time. They were a certified cockroach car, just like would not die.
Yeah.
I still see them nowadays, but mostly just owned by old people who haven't put a ton of miles on them. Mm-hmm. But
just call it the car. It's a 2006 Hyundai Elantra,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
people at home can look it up and go, oh,
yeah.
Okay, what have we got? What's chat saying? Brown, did you ever collab with Well, There's Your Problem?
We were supposed to until I realized that collabing with Well, There's Your Problem means I got to do homework before I show up. Like I was talking to him, and maybe if they're watching or if this gets back to him, but Well, There's Your Problem, I'm supposed to like prepare a presentation and prepare a slideshow to go along with
PowerPoint. You can do PowerPoint. It's fine.
I know.
Oh, I can do that.
And then
I do PowerPoints
perfectly. And I know they're
and
down.
Then we have Roman drops the hardest bars in the automotive tubes.
Hmm.
Huh. I wonder what I said.
Everything.
Thank you. But yeah,
y'all should go off-roading.
Because a lot of the thing is time. And time is at a more of a premium now than ever.
Yeah.
To where we can't really do side quests like we used to.
Right.
You're not going to be on Good Mythical Morning?
What's Good Mythical Morning?
I was introduced to it from my little sister loves it. It's an internet show. It's just two guys doing stuff. What are they doing today? I don't know. We're going to try to eat through a funnel. I don't know. Just weird stuff.
They do a lot of just like random shit.
It's like the Game Grumps Power Hour, the 10-minute Power Hour, where they just, here's a thing we're going to do, and they just do it in the weirdest way possible.
One of my favorite things they do is that they are not really blindfolded, but they're given like some random type of food, weird type of food, mm-hmm. and it's like, say, oh, these are typically dishes served on birthdays. So you know how like in Australia they have like the fairy bread, or just white bread with sprinkles. So they're given like fairy bread, and they're like, "What country is this from?" And they're given like a map, and they have to throw a dart at what they think the country it's from. Uh-huh. And sometimes like they get it right, sometimes they get it wrong. That's like the only skit of them I really watch. But
is this one of those shows where they exaggerate their emotions for the camera? Is there a lot of people going, "Whoa"?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Well, it's only the two of them. There's no audience, I think.
Yeah. Oh, really?
It's just the two of them, and then there's like they have like people who help out the show like in the back, like people who are like, you know, handing them stuff
or really
working the camera. Yeah, they're pretty big on YouTube. Like they've got like millions and millions of subscribers.
Oh man, what am I doing wrong?
You're talking about being gay. You're not cooking food,
right?
You need a Brian Reacts video. We're gonna blindfold you and give you liquor from around the world, and you have to guess what it is.
I can't believe some of like the most watched shit on YouTube. The algorithm would love you. Is literally just videos of people watching videos.
Yeah.
Like and then reacting to a video.
Let's actually exclusively react to reaction videos.
Yeah,
reacting to a guy who's reacting to Two Girls One Cup.
There's this one guy.
Boy, that's gotta be 20 years old.
Yeah,
those people may be married with children that are in high school.
Oh yeah, it's like, yo, Jimmy, watch this video, and it's like, yeah, now
that's your mom.
That dude's an accountant.
Yeah,
that's your mom shitting in. Oh God, no! I have successfully avoided that video. I have not been tricked into watching it, and it's old enough now that it's like, because that was the whole thing, was tricking people to watch it.
Yeah,
like, I managed to avoid it, and now it's like, okay, I made it that far.
And what the maze game?
Admittedly, the maze game was mostly people videotaping other people getting scared shit scared out of them.
Yeah.
That's more wholesome than poop.
Yeah, yeah. Goatsy. That wasn't even a video. That was just an image. Tub girl.
There's the depths of the internet.
Happy puppies.
Yeah.
And lemon party.
Wow. Oh man, it's like this is like terrible internet archaeology.
Yeah. It's funny because like I am of that age where it's like that was relevant. But the thing is like
YouTube.
But the thing is there's like people who have hung out with, they're in their early 20s where they never had that exposure, and it's like, oh, like my age is showing.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was leaded gas like?
It was like airline fuel. It was like ab gas.
What? How old are you? Well, I remember when they used to give you a hot meal on a domestic airline flight for free.
Yeah.
I'm old enough that there was the Reading Eagle and there was the Reading Times.
Oh,
yeah. I don't remember the Times.
And the PM. And you could go into the cockpit while they were flying. And they would give you little plastic pilot wings. And they would trust that you just weren't going to crash the plane.
Yeah, I remember.
You're cold.
Dude, I am always cold. Like, I was talking to Frey last night about why these things, you could have low iron, and this is like old stuff, old guy stuff that doesn't make for good podcasts, but whatever. And there was another word, like, that I forget, he said, for people who have just always, of course, we've known each other for 15 years,
yeah.
Nick, and when winter comes around, I always have a hat on.
Yes.
All the time, inside. Fleece on over top of my hoodie, half gloves. It's just my entire, I just can't feel, I won't feel warm until it's 75 degrees in here.
You just run cold. It happens.
Yeah.
You know? 'Cause like, okay, so like sometimes you would have the hand warmers. Sometimes you would have that boss looking mechanics jumpsuit that was layered up. underneath.
Yeah, we'd go out, and I'd have it's in the basement. Yeah, yeah.
Do you have the duck colored overalls? The like the Carhartt like workman insulated overalls.
Did I have any Carhartt shit?
Like Carhartts before they became a brand.
Yeah, it may have been Carhartt overalls.
Because I didn't realize, it kind of missed how Carhartt became such a thing.
Yeah.
I think I'm treading on like speed or something right now. Like one of those, we're going to do a deep dive into some brand thing.
Yeah.
But it was like, I remember just riding snowmobiles in that and getting covered in oil. I'm like, now it's a fashion brand. What happened?
You know? Yeah.
It's funny because Carhartt is still respected as like a, you know, like a blue collar brand, but it is also a fashion brand. Like people are just wearing like Carhartt pocket t-shirts and it's fashionable to me. And it's like,
but they still sell workwear, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They're still big in workwear, but the thing is they realize they could just profit off being a fashion brand as well. They found this weird niche where they're also like a fashion brand, but also like a work brand. I mean, the same goes for like Timberland's boots.
Or even weird things like Caterpillar or John Deere. Like they make tractors and lawn mowers and stuff. But now they sell hats and shirts and things. So
yeah.
You get Carhartt when you want people to know you're too good for Dickies.
What's wrong with Dickies?
Ain't nothing wrong with Dickies. That's what I'm saying.
What's wrong with Lee jeans? They're just as good as Levi's.
I used to wear
someone Dickies. Says Roman speak into the mic a little bit more.
It's always my problem
got the microphone way down here.
Yeah. Well, no, it's also because I feel like I'm protecting people from some harshness if I'm like over here, but I keep forgetting.
No,
like,
it's okay.
Yeah,
he's thanks. Got the digital doodads over there. Do the thing.
That's true. But yeah, it's I finished my point. I don't know why I'm talking.
Wrestling.
Humans and such. People.
It's people who do things. My brother-in-law likes wrestling, but he likes the underground, like the Delaware underground wrestling thing where they fight in the back of the 7-Eleven and they throw people under the table covered in tacks and razor blades and the fluorescent glass tubes. Like people are bloody. Yeah. I'm like, you like that? And he's like, yeah, it's awesome. I'm like, all right, okay.
Yeah.
To each his own.
I'm like, sounds violent, man. Sounds like nobody should jump off the roof of a convenience store and land on a folding table covered in tacks.
I remember there was this one kid who would make videos like that all the time. He would just do like videos of him like somersaulting into like barbed wire or like jumping face first into a cactus.
This is like damn. Like a one man jackass.
Yeah. Was this before or after Jackass really kicked off?
Definitely before.
Oh, this, before. This was so like, he was a pioneer who just missed his calling.
I think this was like Vine era.
Wow. Oh, wow, Vine.
Shit. We got a text from Jim who's watching. He says, early on when we were trying to figure out what that organization was against like TVs, he says, the organization was Parents Music Resource Center, headed by Tipper Gore. I remember Frank Zappa skewered her during a congressional testimony. She heard nasty lyrics while listening to pop music during her exercise class and sprang into action.
Huh. Weird.
So were we talking about music or were we talking about TV?
We're talking about wrestling and how I think like... Oh, no. Yeah, I think we were talking about something and how they would get protested by those parent organizations.
Okay.
There's always, well, I guess a, there's always a group of people who are like, you know what? I can make a thing out of this.
Yeah.
On the subject of like wrestling and Jackass, Diamond Dallas Page, who got a whole bunch of other like former wrestlers off the sauce.
Yeah.
He's now working with Bam Margera to try to get him off.
And if
he can do it for Bam, I think that he should qualify for sainthood.
He should.
Living
in
sainthood. He shouldn't have to wait to die to get canonized because it's ridiculous. That man, it's because we come from an area where like everybody has a Bam Margera, so I don't. But still, like, everyone's just like, oh, you know, so and so, I ran into Bam, or someone I know ran into Bam, or you know, it's just weird. Mm-hmm. But to have someone so local, not used to.
Yeah, I said everything I needed to say on that car trek.
Vinwiki,
yeah, that eventually I asked him to take him down because it was too, I didn't sound good in it because I was complaining. But the whole, I was trying to tell a story about how I was at a very low point and then looking at when Bam was filming Viva La Bam and looking at this person who didn't really seem to work. Yeah. And now I'm in a similar situation, like not really working a labor job and just getting paid for being goofy. But at the time, I was, you know, working at the ski area. And, well, I've told that story a million times, and I'm, like, staring at Bam's Hummer H2 and realizing that he's in a part of the parking lot that has no security cameras. And there's nothing stopping me from keying it from headlight to taillight. But then what would that solve? Yeah. I would just go back to my apartment and then go back to... And I realized that even that, telling the story, like, I was a fucking ski instructor. That's not a hard job.
Mm-hmm.
It's me hanging out with other rich people teaching their kids to ski. Even though it was a labor-intensive job, man, when I was teaching skiing, I was down to like 165 pounds. And just like all sinew, because all I was doing was doing deadlifts all day, lifting kids and adults off the ground, putting them back and shoving them down the hill. And I kind of, because I was, the last time I was skiing was a few weeks ago during the last bit of cold that we had here. And that was with some other furries. I know them as, I was in suit. I was in suit at the end, full suit at the end of the day. And, but realizing that two people in the group, I won't say names because I don't want to, because half of it was me complaining to myself because I was itching to go skiing, but two of the people in the group couldn't stop. They didn't know how to stop. I'm like, okay, I either go ski with the two people who can kind of ski, or I stay back and I be ski instructor with these two people and get them up to basic level. So I worked with them for like 4 hours and got them to the point where they could do a, you know, snow plow stop.
A bunny slope and not kill themselves?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went skiing exactly once, and I was the train wreck.
Mm.
And since I was used to, I like snowmobiles, things that you have a brake on them, they go uphill, you know.
Yeah.
But the whole ski thing was like, they gave us the 20-minute version of, and it was like, you put the thing in. I was like, every time I did that, the skis would just flip over back and like, try to twist my ankles around.
Yeah.
And I realized the only way to reliably stop is to fall on your ass and just grind to a stop and then get back up again.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is no fun.
No.
And I was also skiing in jeans. Well, this was like 1992.
That's true. That was a thing that I remember seeing people skiing in jeans.
Those puffy ski boots and everything else.
Yeah. Now, skiing is...
It was all rental equipment.
Yeah, fuck the rental equipment. But, I mean, nowadays they make skis specifically for rentals that are very, very gentle. They don't go fast, even though fast, that's relative. But the difficulty of teaching skiing is you are working with people who have a fuel tank of energy that's limited. Because skiing for the first time is like taking someone to the weight room for the first time or having someone work at like 1-800-GOT-JUNK for the first time. Realizing that you're going to be lifting things all day. Yeah.
I remember having to take out, remember everyone in the 90s had those big computer desks? It wasn't just like
the hutch. Regular,
it was like a hutch. I had to take one of those out of a tiny Section 8 apartment one time. I'd rather do anything but that.
Well, did it have to go out in one piece?
It was big. So have you ever experienced someone who used to live in a house and downsized to an apartment, but they didn't downsize their furniture and all their furniture was massive
and packed in. So you had like, I can't get rid of anything.
There was this one older lady who definitely was living in a larger house because all of her furniture was massive and there was like almost barely any room to walk around. And she wanted this big computer hutch. And of course people don't realize that 1-800-GOT-JUNK really kind of is a sales job because it's like sometimes like they're labeled as a premium service. So stuff, even though even like at the smallest, like if you were to take out like these two couches and this table, it'd be like $600.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like this is why you end up just renting a dumpster and getting friends with buy them pizza, got junk, throw it outside.
Their pricing goes off how much space in the truck it takes up. So this would take up a quarter, if not more, and it's about like I remember like a quarter of the truck pricing was like $429. But and then it's sometimes like if there was like extra charges for stuff like couches and mattresses, because a lot of dumps don't like couches and mattresses.
Where did you dispose of stuff that like mattresses and stuff?
There were specific dumps that would take them and specific dumps that wouldn't take them. We had like literally a chart of just places where it's like if you have a mattress, you can only take it to these places. If you have like a certain dumps don't like TVs,
mm-hmm.
certain dumps don't like mattresses.
Well,
so
I think you're not allowed to dump electronics like in general now, I think.
It's some dumps don't really care, but okay. I just remember like the thing that sucked about the job is that like yeah, some dumps didn't want couches. Some dumps like they would charge you extra if it was a mattress, or they just wouldn't accept mattresses at all, or no tube TVs. And I remember sometimes like not wanting to deal with it and would like finagle a tube TV like at the bottom of all the junk so they wouldn't wouldn't notice it.
So did you have to pay the dumps to take the stuff?
Yeah, they go by weight.
Okay.
You pull up, you weigh the truck, and then you dump off. And that's why we were kind of encouraged to keep things and take things home,
mm-hmm.
because we would just throw it back on the truck, or mm-hmm. we would never come off the truck.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, like I said, they even told you, like, if you want to take things home, like, you should, like, ask. And even they didn't really care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would – there have been times where – because a lot of people don't know this about 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Only 40% of it was actually junk. 60% of it was just rich people with too much stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of it was grandma died. I don't want to deal with her shit. Come pick it.
When you say premium service, it's like, yeah, there's lots of places you can throw things out. You're asking for a group of people to come and do all the work for you.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm distracted by this hawk doing acrobatics out your window.
So that's why, like, it is a sales job, and we were given like a price sheet, and I would adjust my prices accordingly. So if someone wanted me to come into their house and take like here's the amount of stuff, that price would drop drastically if they already moved all that stuff outside and we just have to throw it in the truck. Like if someone, a lot of people would call just for like a TV or just a mattress. A lot of people will call for mattresses,
mm-hmm.
and basically, if my thing is if the mattress was already outside or like on their porch, the price we could cut in half.
Well, yeah. What would that price be?
A mattress we were supposed to take for $129.
Okay, because I called my I replaced a bed recently, and mm-hmm. I was like, how do you get rid of a mattress anymore? And I called the trash company, and they're like, it's $100.
Yep.
I'm like, why is it $100 to throw out a mattress? And they said, because we have a hard time for us to get rid of them.
Yep.
Because we just transport it to somewhere else, and it's like they have to make a special trip.
Yep.
Take this to the place where they'll take a mattress. Like, I'm not sure what's in them that makes them so bad.
I don't know exactly, but they are just a lot of dumps don't like dealing with them. A lot of dumps, like construction material or just stuff that's easy to like compact. And it's like, you can't really, like, because of all the springs and everything like that. You
compact it and it just springs back up.
Yeah. Again. And like a lot of tube TVs. It's funny because now people are asking for money for tube TVs. Yeah. Tube TVs went from like literally just being paperweights to now like old school video game players want tube TVs. And you know what sucks? I can't tell you how many like Sony Trinitrons.
Yeah.
I got junked. And I know video game people love Sony Trinitrons.
This is such a tangent, but it was one of those like YouTube serving up something in the algorithm where I was like, oh, you actually won. You won. I actually want to watch this. It was a story about somebody was like people who collect old Sony Trinitrons and mm-hmm. just old tube TVs for like classic gaming.
Yeah.
And they said like people found these old a catalog, a Sony catalog. It was in the late 80s or early 90s, somewhere in that era, in the Japan-only models.
Oh, wow.
And there was one where it was a 42-inch tube television.
Damn.
It was like it was gigantic. Because I know I've seen – I saw 36s here that were like 900 pounds. It was ridiculous. Yeah. Probably not that much, but – and they said, and everyone was like, and it was $10,000. It was some unbelievable sum. It was it was probably handmade. It was just Sony flexing, showing like, look what we can do. And like the picture of the catalog was like the Japanese woman with showing it, and the thing was like half her size. It was enormous, and everyone was like, "There's no way one of these exists." Except it was like on a forum, there was like a picture that was purported to be of one, and it looked like it was in a restaurant.
Yeah,
and it was like the most mysterious song on the internet. How like for 10 years, no one knew what the hell it was.
Yeah,
and it was this thing of where is it, and it came down to someone in Japan finally went, I think I've seen that. It's in a restaurant. It's like in a noodle factory that also runs a restaurant, and it's like in a second floor karaoke lounge or something that they don't use. And this retro gaming group in New Jersey was like, can somebody please this? And one guy's like, I teach English in Japan.
Yeah.
I can make the trip. It's 3 hours, but I'll do it.
Yeah.
And he goes there and he takes a picture, and it's the same picture of the old picture of the room, except everything's dusty now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, there it is. and he goes, but here's the thing. Actually, they're going to tear this building down soon, and they need everything. They're going to throw everything out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this epic thing of how we're going to get this 450-pound tube TV off the second floor of a walk-up, noodle factory across the ocean to New Jersey and not break it.
Yeah.
And it's like you have to get cargo ships and containers, and because the thing's too big to pack up, FedEx won't touch it.
Uh-huh.
But they eventually got it to this guy's garage, and then because they're all a bunch of nerds, they're people that are electrical engineers. They're like, they're plugging things in and it fires up, but it's like everything's got that weird blur where things aren't quite together. And they're taking circuit cards out and replacing things. And like, the long story, that was not short at all. But like, they got the damn thing running, and I'm like, it's a sort of like story of like, we saved the one of them that might be left in the world.
Sweet.
And they were playing Smash Brothers on it.
I would love to see that, like VCF.
VCF.
They host it's like Vintage Computer Festival or something like that.
Okay.
I've been to, I forget the exact of it, but I just remember I had a friend of mine from Ohio who was in town, and I literally went just to go see him. I think it's VCF East.
Mm.
Or something like that, and it's just a lot of just like people just bring old technology to demonstrate.
Sweet.
And that's something where if it's some kids in New Jersey who brought it, it would definitely, because they hosted it like the Jersey Shore somewhere. I forget. I think it was like near Brick or Asbury Park.
Oh, I apologize. It was a 45-inch TV.
Oh my God. Do you have a photo of it?
I'm trying to find it. Yeah, the quest to save the world's largest CRT. Yeah, like.
Oh my!
Oh my God!
Like, I think that's I think the TV next to it is a 27.
Yeah,
which would have was like the standard size at the time.
Yeah, that's like the size of a garage freezer, like a big one that you like. Some guy who hunts deer puts his the meat into.
I like the idea of a noodle factory that has a karaoke room.
The Sony KX-45ED1. AKA the PVM 4300, the stuff of legends. It was a 45-inch CRT in the late 80s, sold for $40,000.
God damn.
I can kiss my whole ass for that money.
Yeah, and there's the picture of it with the kerosene heater. Like, just that was the picture someone had of it.
Yeah.
And it was just in the background, and then everyone's like, is this real?
Mm. Yeah.
And eventually they, like, tracked it down and got it halfway around the world and saved it. I'm like, meanwhile, they're towing the SS United States to go sink it as a reef. But what can you do?
I'll tell you what you can do. Thank you so much for watching this episode of Regular Friends. I am not sure if I'm going to switch to beer or caffeine. It's probably going to be more alcohol.
You should switch to caffeine. You seem sleepy.
I do seem sleepy.
You're doing the I'm warm thing. You're slumping.
But Nick and I, at least Nick and I, have one more section to do for the Patreon, and then we're going to be done.
We should probably... Did we talk about the original reason for this was the Elantra?
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit.
Okay. We brought it up for like a second.
Just making sure. I mean, it is a car podcast,
kind of now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. May I use your phone to see the chat? Thank you to Totes Garage, Brian is Daddy, Liam C. Zappa make fun of the accent during a congressional hearing. Oh, that was kind of it. No one was really watching. But thank you for everybody who's watching now. We're going to have the guy with the black pants push a hot fart into the couch.
We're all
wearing dark. Yeah.
Pretty dark.
Yeah. So
I don't have one in the chamber.
We're
going
to take a break and then record the audio-only Patreon episode that's going to be up that I'm probably going to get up later tonight. Those of you who are not, who have not joined Patreon, please do. It is Regular Car Reviews on Patreon. It only costs $1. Man, if everybody who subscribed to Regular Car Reviews joined the Patreon, our RCR would be unstoppable.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But every little dollar helps, guys. Seriously. Thank you so much. You're able, and we're going to be able to do things in the old style. Like, the more people join RCR's Patreon, the more we can make content that really cannot be censored, do the car stuff we always wanted to do. We don't have the giveaways anymore. That's what fueled the Australia trip. I so want to go back. I want to do so much stuff, but we need your help to do that with on Patreon. It's for less than the cost of a Costco hot dog. You get double the entertainment. Yes. And also our gratitude. So we're going to take a break, do the Patreon episode. And if you want to watch it, it'll be on Patreon. There is a way, I don't know how, to get the Patreon audio onto iTunes or something else. Maybe not.
I'm there are people who've done it. I don't know how. I've literally been looking into this, and I don't like
it. We'll figure it out. Worst case scenario, it's on Patreon, and you listen to it in browser or you download it for later. Yeah. Thank you so much, and we'll see. We'll see you hopefully on Patreon later tonight. Bye.
Have a good one.
Very dignified.